Let's start, though, Fevzi, with your gadget of the week, and this is a universal tablet holder.
Yeah, so it's a simple design, but it's clever. So first of all, it's from Filofax, who we've known from the 80s, I think, for their paper-based products. And they're all still there, interestingly. I was looking at the website earlier. They still do that, but they've sort of come up into the modern day, and they do tablet cases, folders, and this stand, which I was quite fascinated by. So it's called the AnyTab 360. That's spelled ENI. Tab, as in tablet, and 360 because it sort of swivels to virtually 360 degrees. So imagine a device made of plastic. It's hinged and it's in the shape of an upturned letter V. So the hinge at the top. One arm of the V is on the floor, on the tabletop, and the other part of it sticks to the back of the tablet. But where it sticks, it's got this micro suction pad. So I've seen designs like this before, but I never wanted to use them because you have to stick them to the back of your tablet and then they don't come off or they leave some
Oh, and they leave
residue.
that dirty, sticky mark.
Exactly. This doesn't do that. So if you want to take it off and reposition it or you get a new tablet, all you do is you just wash the surface, let it dry, and it's ready for use again. It doesn't leave any marks.
Oh.
So it's clever. So it's got that technology, which I like, and allows you to reuse it. You can have it at multiple angles. So you can have it so that the tablet is almost flat. So it's just about 20, 25 degrees off the horizontal so that you can type on it. Or you can pitch it up to about 45 degrees and watch things like, YouTube videos or any other sort of content on there. And also, when it's stuck to the back, it's quite a nice way of actually holding on to the tablet from the rear. Two versions of it, large and small. Small for anything below 8.4 inches, large for anything above 8.4 inches. If it's exactly 8.4 inches, you're on your own because I don't know which one you should use at that point. £14.99. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5 because I thought it was clever and it was affordable, and it's got a slot. So if you buy one of their tablet covers, which come in all sorts of funky designs, it fits inside that. So then, it slots in for protection, but then sits inside the open cover when you want to use it as well. So I thought that was quite nice and unusually affordable for something with such a brand name on it.
Google have made some big announcements this week. They've been holding their annual developer conference.
Yes. So Google's guiding principle was always do no evil. So it's decided to stop doing evil in the sense that everyone who uses Gmail may not know it, but your email's always being scanned by Google, and they use that information for a variety of uses, including putting adverts in your email that were pertinent to what you've been talking about in your email. So if I said to you, "I'm thinking of going on holiday to Spain," I might get adverts for Spanish lessons or luggage or something like that. So they were doing that. They said they're going to stop doing that now. Although it's kind of interesting because at first reading you think they're going to stop scanning your emails. No, they're not. They're going to continue scanning your emails for various other purposes, such as malware protection, sorting for search queries, and also to help with their artificial intelligence big data type projects. So they still scan them. They just don't. And you'll still get targeted emails. They'll just use all the other things they know about you in order to deal with it. So
it's a tricky one, this, isn't it? Because you always get that argument, oh, well, if you're not up to anything bad, then you've got nothing to worry about.
No,
but then,
that's
you know,
not an argument.
There will be others like you, Fevzi, who will say, hang on a minute, this is just spying, pure and simple.
I'll explain it to you like this, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you're not paying for a product, you are the product, and you are the product. Google know everything about us, really, really everything, because everything you type into their search engine, you keep. Every time you use an Android smartphone, they know where you are, what apps you're using, all the data from those, everything. And now we've got Google Home devices, so they'll have, recordings of your voice as you speak and the things that you're interested in, everything. So it's great as long as they're benign.
Yeah.
But as I like to say, think of what Hitler could do with that sort of information.
That's the thing, isn't it? If that information gets into the wrong hands,
yeah.
Then what?
Yeah, you never have to worry about, one government or one company. You have to worry about the next one.
Mm.
Yeah. Who gets their hands on that information? I mean, we know for a fact that the NSA in America is both cooperating with Google and forcing them to cooperate and spying on them as well. So with that combination, you can assume that whatever Google knows, Big Brother probably knows as well. So, it's a step in the right direction, but I also think it's a bit of misdirection because on first reading of that story, most people would think they're not going to scan your emails anymore. Yes, they are. They're just going to use different data to target the adverts they send you.
If you are concerned then about Google or other people scanning your emails, is there a way around it?
Yeah, I mean there are email services that you pay for and therefore don't make their revenue by this
Right.
business model. So, it's sometimes a case you get what you pay for because unfortunately, as I say, most of the free stuff is not really free. So if you pay, £20, £30 a year for an email account, then you can expect some degree. That's not to say that others won't still, hack in and spy on you, as we'll see with the next story. But it at least means that your email provider isn't spying on you, and I think that's kind of important. I know money is tight, and it's not everyone can do this, but I think email is such a key service that it's one of the ones that's actually worth paying for.
Interesting. You mentioned it might not just be them who are spying on you. Of course, a big news story this week. Parliament has been hacked. Up to 90 email accounts were compromised during this cyber attack on Friday. This seems to be a growing problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you would have thought that they would do more. I mean, the spokesman for Parliament said that the attack was a result of weak passwords. That is, that people have chosen short, easy to guess, or easy to what they call brute force passwords. So, if a password, for example, is 8 characters or so long, if it doesn't use a combination of upper and lowercase letters, a few numbers thrown in, maybe one or two special characters like an exclamation mark or a quote or a hash or something like that, then a computer program scanning all the permutations and combinations can hack that password for certain within a day or two. And therefore, the fact that up to 90 accounts were affected. Means it means a number of things. It means that whoever's responsible for the parliamentary system is allowing weak passwords. I mean, I know when I log on to a decent website where security is a priority, I can't get away with a weak password. It says you must have this many characters, must have upper and
That's
lowercase.
true, yeah.
Why isn't their system? And also, why is it possible for email accounts of parliamentarians to be accessed from any machine? Well, surely what they should have is those email accounts only being accessed by machines provided by Parliament so that they can secure it. So then, even if this is a form of what they call second factor authentication, you not only need the password, but you need to have a particular machine or a dongle that you plug into the machine or something that means
Yeah,
that
but
the
then I
password
guess for
won't send.
ease of use, though, people want to be able to log in wherever, whenever.
Well, yes, but there's still things that you can do. You could, for example, you could send a code to that person's smartphone so that they have to punch in the code before they can access the email. So what that means is that the person would not only need the password of the parliamentarian, they would also need their mobile phone or to be able to intercept a text message. So this should be the case. So second factor authentication and probably, secure devices, because when they issue devices, then they can ensure their security. For the rest of us, what does this tell us? It's time to consider starting to use password management software. This is software that does two things. It generates very hard to guess passwords, both long and obscure, that bear no relation to any English language or other word, just random. And then it stores them all in a vault, which is then protected by one master password, which you have to remember, mustn't divulge. But again, that master password to the vault full of all your other passwords is protected by a second factor, such as your mobile phone or a dongle or some such. So if you can do that, then once you've entered the password and gone through the second factor, then you can browse the internet with impunity without having to remember any of your passwords. And it's really quite liberating. It's a
Yeah,
bit,
that's clever. Does it
it's
cost a lot of money?
there are free versions of so there I mean
But as we've just been told, nothing is free.
well yeah but that but they're commercial organizations that also try to sell you a paid for version.
Right.
So there are free versions, and so there's companies like LastPass. and one password, number one, numeric one password. Both of those are well-respected systems, and I personally would go for the paid versions because they give you the second factor authentication and so forth. But so, of course, you can say, well, that's a single point of failure, because then if they get that master password, they'll get everything. That's true, but if you make sure you protect it with second factor authentication, I believe on balance it's probably the lesser of two evils, because it means you can have a unique password for every service that you use. And if one of those services gets hacked, it's very easy to know what passwords you've got and how to change them, so that you no longer have to spend 2 days thinking what passwords, what services, what do I need to change. You can do it all, you know, very quickly.
I might have to look into that, because seriously, I've lost count of the number of times I have to click on the forgot your password thing and then go through the whole business, because you just can't. You can't remember them all. You know, you need passwords for everything these days, and it's just impossible.
Absolutely, because the sorts of people like these MPs who've put in weak passwords are probably the same people who've used the same weak password for their Amazon account and their bank account and everything. So at this point, they should be rushing to change everything. Well, particularly, you know, the problem with an email account being compromised is that the email account can be used to unlock all the other passwords, because, you know, when you, let's say you log into Amazon and you provide an email address and a password, and then if someone else who's hacked your email says, oh, I've forgotten the password, please send me a reset link, so you send the reset link to the email address, the miscreant who stole your password intercepts the email and resets your password, locks you out of your own account, or not, so you don't even know that they've done it, and then proceeds to, make happy with your funds.